Hello and welcome to the verse-by-verse Bible teaching of the Washing Word. This is an outreach ministry from the business that my wife and I run. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Washing Word hand car washing business in Churchill. And there we work to earn the money that it takes to support this ministry and to support ourselves. And we deliver these messages for the sole purpose of glorifying God and edifying His saints. And we ask for no donations. We ask for no money or charity. We simply ask that you let the Word change your hearts. And if you do decide that you'd like to support this ministry, then come by and let us work on your car and let us earn our keep. We will pick up where we left off in John chapter 8. We have been looking a lot at the back and forth banter between Jesus and the Jews, how he has gained popularity, but at the same time, he's gained a lot of enemies. And, you know, that's a good lesson for us to remember. If we decide that we want to be vocal with the truth, that regardless of what general populace might say or believe or follow, if we decide that we're going to state the claims of God's Word in all of their entirety, that we are going to speak the truth, the unpleasant at times truth, and when we decide these things, we are going to gain popularity, and many times it's in a negative way. But negative popularity is your reward for standing firm in the truth. You know, we have to decide now what kind of Christian we want to be. And this is what Jesus is doing in chapter 8, is he's laying down these strong foundational teachings so that those around him, remember, a lot of people did come to follow him after some of his hard teachings, but what did he do with those who decided that they were going to follow him? When he drew that line in the sand, as it were, and many walked away, but many followed, what did he do with those that followed? He would drop down on them a more difficult teaching and a harder understanding, so that these people who made that decision to follow him would be challenged, and they would be called to a higher level. You see, that is the process of sanctification, and that is Jesus's main concern once you say yes to Christ. And if you've been a believer for a long time, or maybe your whole life, you can still say yes to Christ, because there's an area in your life that he's been calling you to, an area that he wants you to get rid of, or something he wants you to do that you haven't done. And if your relationship feels kind of stale with the Lord right now, it's because he's waiting on you to do that which he already spoke to you. And if maybe it's something you need to quit, and maybe it's cigarettes or gossip or maybe alcohol, maybe he's convicting you to stop watching certain TV shows, whatever it is, if you feel like God is silent these days, it's because maybe he's waiting on you to do what he told you last. But getting back to what Jesus was saying here, let's go ahead and finish chapter 8. We'll read the rest of the verses starting in verse 48, and we'll finish chapter 8 today. So join me, John chapter 8, starting in verse 48. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." At this, the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. Before Abraham was born, I am. Well, at this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. All right, we'll stop it right there. Boy, he sure knows how to end a speech, doesn't he? Like we said, Jesus was gaining popularity, but he was popular like Osama bin Laden was popular. He became public enemy number one. And this little I am statement at the end of this discourse really didn't help his cause, did it? Jesus answered him, before Abraham was born, I am. Remember, that's a statement reserved for God. And so he was equating himself with God, which is why they picked up stones, because in their eyes, he was being blasphemous. Now let's take all this. You know, I can't take all of chapter 8 into this summary, but if you would go back and listen to chapter 8's messages, including what we saw today, I think we could surmise that in these last days, and that's what we're in. We're in the last days, and don't excuse me, and don't think I'm the guy that stands on the corner with a cardboard sign that says the end is near. The last days are every day since Jesus' ascension. So it's this last age, this age of grace, the church age, we call it. These are all called the last days. But in these last days, we need to decide what kind of Christian that we want to be. You know, do you want to be a Pharisee and bound up in your religiosity? Do you want to be the kind of Christian who's just walking around with a judgmental attitude? Sure, you adhere to God's word, and sure, you hold on, hold fast to the things that Jesus said, maybe even to a fault because you're not allowing mercy to triumph over judgment. Do we want to be the type of Christians who just huddle together in our cute little church and adopt the attitude of us four and no more? You know, this area in United States here, this tri-cities, tri-state area, it's we call it the Bible Belt, and there's a church on every single corner, but all we are tiny little lights, sometimes just focusing on our own little building. Do we want to call ourselves believers, yet cherry-pick the Word of God? You see, the devil has taken every single truth in God's word, and he has created a side angle to it. You know what I mean? He's taken everything that God has said, that Jesus has said, everything that is truth, and he's created some sort of a side angle, and he's altered the truth. For instance, Jesus preached unity in the church body, and the devil took that, and he created things like the Unitarian Church and certain types of sects and cults. Jesus said, those who do the Father's will and believe in him will go to heaven. And Satan took this doctrine of the elect, and he created the Jehovah's Witnesses. Jesus taught to love one another, and Satan created a distorted view of that through Mormonism. Now, I'm not sitting here trying to knock other religions per se, but what Satan has done, he has distorted truth. And when a lie surfaced, Jesus never hesitated to call it out. He never hesitated to call it what it was, a sin. And the problem with the church today is people everywhere are afraid to call sin a sin. The original sin of pride is running rampant in and out of the church, and yet we call it self-confidence. The sin of greed is infecting people in and out of the church, yet we call it providential necessity. Disobedient children and unfulfilled parental roles And we instead of calling it out, we slap an ADD or an ADHD title on them and we pour Ritalin down their throats. And when we get angry, when we have the sin of anger, we try to call it justice. And when we rebel against God's word, we try to call it freedom or freedom of expression. We lust after sexual perversion, and we simply call it an alternate lifestyle. We kill, mutilate, and rip apart limb from limb unborn babies and call it a choice. So in these last days, Christian, I ask you, what kind of Christian do you want to be? You see, Jesus never compromised truth. He never turned his back on calling out the sinners and the false teachers and every doctrinal teaching that became so distorted. And entire generations grew up on the Pharisaical distortion of the Mosaic law. So not only were they following a Mosaic law that did not bring them the salvation that was required, but they were following an altered law. The devil is master at altering things. And so again, I ask, what kind of Christian do you want to be in these last days? You know, in verse 58, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was born, I am. And at this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Listen, if we look at that scripture again, and we alter it a little bit, bear with me, I would never alter scripture, but what I'm saying is, Jesus ended his dialogue here with a statement that was so bold and so offensive that it required immediate death. They weren't going to take him to trial for what he said. They weren't going to arrest him for what he said. Their immediate reaction was to pick up stones and to kill him. He said something that so bucked the system and the norm of that day that there wasn't even time or necessity to think about what they were going to do about what he has just said. So let me ask you again. What kind of Christian do you want to be in these last days? Because the time may come sooner than you think that your professed belief in the Bible and in God and in Jesus and even more risque is your professed belief in the things God calls a sin. That time is coming and may even be here and is here when you profess those things with such boldness as Jesus was to say, before Abraham was born, I am. And when you call out certain sins in this day and age, you run the risk, maybe not being stoned or immediately killed, though that does happen in some areas of the world. But even now, you cannot speak against certain sins that are clear as day in the Bible without it being called bigotry or racism or hate speech or fill in the blank with whatever title you want. And so, friends, we have to decide today what kind of Christian we want to be today, because tomorrow that faith, that decision you make might be tested. And it might be tested sooner than you think. Peter said, if all fall away, I will never fall away. And guess what? He did. And so when you stand for Jesus, you may say, oh, I will stand for truth no matter what. But be prepared, because that faith can be tested in a second. And Jesus slipped away. He didn't get stoned because God had him on a divine timeline. You and I may not have a chance to slip away. So in closing, I'm asking you, what kind of Christian do you want to be in these last days? Because if you stand for truth, it may cost you your life. Are you willing? Are you ready? And are you sure? We'll see you again tomorrow at 8:30 at this station, or go to washandword.com for all of our messages. Have a blessed day.